This episode of MMA Nuts is brought to you by GoDaddy.com, 99cent.com with code CJCMMA99. 30% off all products with code CJCMMA30. Get a $1 per month hosting for 12 months with code CJCMMA1HS. Save 10% off tickets to Glory 33 on September 9th in New Jersey with code G33MMANUTS. Vegas.com. Save 5% off, 250 plus on hotels, flights, shows, and more with code MMA5. Defense Soap. Used by more champions in more countries than any other brand. Save 15% off with code MMANUTS. Hey fans, this is MMA Nuts, episode 306.
306!
My name is Ingo Weigold.
Matt Griffith, MMA Show, by MMA fans, for MMA fans. We're walking the line between serious and ridiculous. See how smooth that intro was? We're firing on all cylinders. Got a brand new recording instrument. Shit got crazy last week. It blew up. 6 years of operation. Just said, fuck you and your audio.
Yeah, you realize you just fucked us.
Right? No, we've got triple. I was just saying before we started, it's like wearing two condoms, fucking a hooker. I don't know anything about that. But I have two recording devices and the video recording.
Correct.
Which sucks, but hey, it's better than having no audio.
Well, one thing we never thought of was taking our phones out. And
we thought about that.
Did we do that?
I'm already bumping up against space every time.
It's just like, I have like everything recording at the same time.
Yes. There's so much firepower in here right now.
Coming to you live in 3D.
There's so many computers. What? Let's count them. One, two, three, four computers. A couple external hard drives. One, two monitors. All the audio shit recording. Camera. Lights.
iPads, iPhones.
Oh, I didn't turn this light on either.
Oh.
Let's turn these on.
We're coming in like totally.
Oh, there we go.
Totally professional. Now you can see our shit. Yeah, man, this is a big operation.
Maybe we need neon lights over there.
We do.
Like the ground effects.
Yeah.
I had that on my.
I want some smoke to come out.
I had my video game, Ingo. I have these things. Remember,
we need smoke.
I have the buttons over here.
We should totally do a show with smoke and like fucked up lights and turn these off. And it's just the whole show is all fucked up weird. Halloween, we should do that. What do you guys think?
Fine, yes, done. I have all the shit. Yeah. I have my smoke machine's in need of repairs.
You got to be drinking out of like cups with like glow in the dark
skulls.
Shit inside.
You should be drinking out of fucking skulls. Yeah. Demon's blood.
You could sacrifice a live chicken.
Or a virgin.
Both.
A virgin chicken.
A virgin live chicken, yes.
We're all for it.
Hey.
See? It's kosher.
I love when we think of things.
Yeah.
It's the best.
We think.
We think.
So before we get into all this stuff, I want to tell a little story about our plight in sponsors, because, you know, having a podcast is interesting because you're always like pitching your shit to potential sponsors. So let's just say there was someone we worked with in the past and trying to reestablish a relationship with them, and the person or the people that you dealt with are no longer there. So you got to go up to the next highest, like a VP or chief marketing officer, whatever the fucking bullshit job title is.
CMO.
Yeah.
For short.
Right. Whatever it is.
It's a two-man company.
So anyway, I send my normal pitch in, you know.
Solid, Matt. I would have to say solid.
Thank you. I usually give people a week, right? A week sounds like a fair enough time.
Reasonable.
Like, hey, blah, blah, blah. You got any thoughts on what I sent you? So I get a reply. The only thing the reply says is unsubscribe.
He forwarded this to me. I thought it was a joke, and I'm like, literally.
I've never had someone reply, just unsubscribe. Like, what does that fucking mean? Unsubscribe. I'm not a robot. I'm a person. I have feelings, motherfucker.
He thinks you're like one of those automated thingies.
Right.
Yeah.
So it took me a day before I responded, because I had so many things going through my head. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to reply with 209. The number is 209.
Did it work?
I got nothing back.
Nothing. You know, I wonder too if that guy is like the mirror image of you, and this was his weird sick joke, like, fuck you, unsubscribe. That's all. I'm just gonna send unsubscribe.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is pretty rude. I mean, typically you'd say like, hey, you know, thank you, but no thank you. Have a nice fucking day. At least something.
Right. And I'm the kind of guy that would like to keep needling them, but I'm also not a fan of burning bridges. Don't
Agreed.
Burn your bridges. So
unsubscribe is kind of burning a bridge.
Well, that's fine.
209 is not really Burning
no,
Man.
No, you'd have to be in the know to know what that means.
Right. What does your shirt say, by the way?
Oh, it's Quicksilver. Just Quicksilver. That's my...
Oh, Siri's like, I know.
My fine brand fucking of
Siri.
Choice.
Calm down, Siri.
I like my surf shirts.
Yeah.
So, I share my story. What else you want to talk? You want to talk about this UFC on Fight Pass?
You're always telling your stories, man. Story. Huh? You're always telling your stories. I got stories. yeah, let's talk about that, please.
Well, we just watched the highlight from Ryan Bader, Ira Latifi. Oof.
Yes, which you had said you don't recall the parody in the fight initially.
Yeah.
But there was some, apparently. Bader almost gets stopped in the first and then reverts to his old self in the second. And unfortunately, Latifi ducked when he should have dived.
They turned into a fucking Olympic diver.
Yeah.
For the back dive. Like, oh, nose.
Sorry. It's ruined our set.
That's all right.
Yeah. Took a fucking knee right to the nose.
Yeah, that was brutal. And we have the Arlovsky-Josh Barnett fight.
Sad.
Again, can go either way. The first 30 seconds. Oh, he hits him. Oh, he hits him. Oh, he hits him. The fuck's going on? Someone's getting knocked out. And it's a war of attrition. And
there was a nice trip takedown. There was a what appeared to be an eye poke that wasn't recognized by the referee. No eye poke. Fight on.
It's all good. We don't believe in eye pokes here. And Germany or wherever we're fighting. And
so,
you know, Barnett ends up getting the submission. Arlovsky, he got pounded out at the end of the second round where the fight almost got stopped. And you have Barnett on, in top position on mount.
Not good.
Just raining blows away. And, you know, post USADA Arlovsky is not faring well. I want to say he's 1-3 since USADA. He never looked like the guy that was on something, though. But you never know. You never know. So what do we do next with these guys? I was thinking Barnett, maybe a little Junior Dos Santos.
Yeah, let's do that. Give him a striker.
Yeah, and then Arlovsky, a little Mark Hunt, if Mark Hunt doesn't get cut or if Arlovsky doesn't get cut. But that would be devastating.
That would
be the guy's at three, I think he's three losses in a row.
Yeah.
You know?
Does he want to fight on?
Well, I mean, he's at one of the best camps, right? It was working for a little while. I don't know what he needs to do differently.
Bellator!
Well, he could go over there and reign supreme.
Oh,
right?
Yes. I like that option a lot, actually.
They would like him. They'd welcome him with open arms. Like, let's talk about, you know, look at how they welcome Rory McDonald. And then they just released a video. I think you posted it to our Facebook.
Yeah, the lead up. It was real cool. Like, they did a whole thing. And, you know, I feel like they're putting a lot of eggs in this basket of grabbing these fighters, and they're showing those fighters shaking. I think it was Phil Davis was on that video,
Phil
shaking
Davis,
hands.
Tito
like,
Ortiz.
Hey, buddy, welcome to the club. Like, come on over to the dark side. And I got somebody was talking about Bellator versus UFC fighting, like doing some sort of big event, which I love that idea. Let's fucking do that.
That'd be great.
Yes.
I don't think the UFC will ever do it. They're never into cross promotion.
No, but even if it's not their top fighters, what if it's just the B guys and the two? Start there. I mean, I'm fine with that. Do make it interesting, you know, whatever. Maybe there's some sort of belt, title, some weird thing, trophy. I don't know. But I mean, but then you have Ben Henderson, who kind of said the grass wasn't always greener.
Well, he's also tail end of his career. He's also not, like, Rory still hasn't hit his potential.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and he's going to be champion in two weight classes, right?
So he says, I still wonder if he can recover from that Robbie Lawler.
Well, he said he's going to take a year off.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let the nose heal, because he didn't, I think that's what happened with the Thompson fight, is that his nose wasn't fully healed, and he just went right back into the fire.
Yeah.
And then it's just not, you got to get that titanium or some shit put in there, right?
Yeah, well, something. Horse semen. I heard that's binding. It's good for your nostrils.
I guess. Horse semen in your nose.
Inject that right up in there.
Tell my nephew that as he broke his nose over the weekend. Yeah. Like, you know what you need? You need horse semen up
there. Yes. Only the best for you, sir.
The best of the best. I hear all the top athletes are doing it.
Delivered rectally.
Are you sure this is going to heal me?
Yes.
Don't worry. It'll all work out.
We got you hooked up, man. Don't worry.
It'll all work out.
Yeah. So. What about Barnett? What are you thinking?
Well, I was saying the Junior Dos Santos for him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Barnett, Junior Dos Santos. Junior's been quiet.
Yeah. You also have Cain Velasquez just kind of waiting out there. I mean, we're going to talk about UFC 203 where you have, like, the other top heavyweights going at
the other four. Yep.
Again, this heavyweight division is so stale. Like, everyone's so old. Like, here we go. Arlovsky and Barnett. I mean, former UFC heavyweight champions.
They're like 80 years old combined or something.
Like 37, 38. Yeah. And you want to look at the number of fights between the guys.
It's crazy.
Damn. Like, we need some fresh blood. And it's just.
Yes.
It's like light heavyweight and heavyweight for the UFC are just kind of stagnant.
Very, very. John Jones is coming back. You never know.
That's true. He should go up to heavyweight. Mm-hmm. Him and DC both go up to heavyweight.
And fight there?
And Rumble go up to heavyweight. Everybody vacates the 205.
Yes.
Then Gustafsson fought on this card, too. Didn't look good.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Didn't look good.
Ugh. It was way on the undercard, eh?
No, he was on the main card, but it wasn't. I don't remember the positioning of the fights. I want to say he was the co-main event, maybe.
Okay.
But did not look good.
Did he win?
He won.
Okay.
Decision. But I don't know what's going to happen with that guy, but did not look good.
Okay.
Moving right along. I don't want to beat that guy. Because he seems like a nice guy, so I don't want to say
anything.
He's
a nice guy.
I don't want to say anything too terrible about him. But
do we want to do the news, or do we want to do the... What are we doing?
Let's do the UFC 203 preview.
All right, UFC 203, which is happening in a few days in the Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland, Ohio.
Quicken Loans Arena?
Yeah, really.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, oh, dude.
Why does everyone waste their money on branding stadiums?
Because Quicken is from Ohio, and they do, like, all this. These guys got lots of money. They're in the mortgage business. They're fucking loaded.
Hey, I'm in the market.
Hey, I'm saying. So, you got September 10th happening in Ohio, headlined by some heavyweight co-main and co-main event, and, of course, CM Punk.
It's September 10th.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's this weekend. Ugh. Why?
Because that's like my wedding anniversary.
Oh, shit.
It's a problem.
I guess Matt's in the doghouse on September 11th. Sucks to be you. Well,
we gotta figure that one out.
We don't have to watch it. We can always take a night off.
Save it or something. I'll figure it out.
Don't fuck up your... Listen.
No, this is more important. Relationships are important.
I agree.
Fights. Or every weekend.
Exactly.
Relationships.
Spend time with your wife.
Or forever.
I'm totally cool with whatever. So
all right.
Thanks for ruining our show, Matt.
Don't worry. I like to bring it down a notch.
With your anniversary talk.
Yeah, I still have to make a card. Yeah. I don't buy cards. I make them.
That's nice.
I'm a cheap fuck.
Or you
and I'm creative.
You could turn it. Exactly. I was going to say, instead of that, I would say you're more creative. And you're feelings are from the heart, not from some Hallmark.
So I like to put my cock on the card and then trace an outline.
Here's a picture of my cock.
Like, this will be yours later tonight.
There you go.
And remember, everything must be injected rectally.
There you go. September 10th. So happy anniversary to you and your bride. Speaking of rectal injections, CM Punk versus Mickey Gall.
Yeah.
Go.
You gotta start on that one? As we stated in the past, was not impressed with what I've seen on the evolution of Punk in his little documentary. And you're just showing me some current training footage where so he looks a little bit better. I don't see it. I don't see it, Ego.
No.
Why not? I don't see it.
Well, I watched the whole thing the other day,
I know.
Like in the background, and I was impressed by a few things. I mean, sparring, you can, like, gym sparring, you can never really tell much. I mean, you can tell, but you can't.
Yeah.
I feel like his movement has improved. He's more fluid. He's not as jerky, awkward type. You know,
he's not like coming at you hands down, face first.
I think he's got a chance. And the thing,
everybody's got a chance.
Right. The one thing that I think is a major advantage for him versus Gall, dude, the guy's been in wrestling matches in front of like almost 100,000 people multiple times. So like the pressure, I wonder if that the pressure cannot be as great for him as it is for Gall. I feel like he's been there. He understands what's going to happen. Now, maybe there's a whole another level of fear that's added on top of this because now, like, okay, this is not like a work. We're literally going to fucking try to kill each other. Maybe that messes his head up. I don't know, but I think the crowd isn't going to really affect him.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but what happens when he gets punched in the face, right?
Nobody knows. Look at Brock. I mean...
Or kicked. Or choked. Like, what happens when the shit hits the fan? Like, I understand, yeah, he's been in front of all those people.
Yeah.
But he's been fake wrestling. Right?
Sure.
So, I mean, maybe from the crowd standpoint, he doesn't let the nerves get to him, but from a fight standpoint, he's like, oh, fuck.
Right.
Like, I'm, like, someone's in there trying to kill me now. Now how do I respond? So that'll be interesting to see.
It will be. And it's a young guy, too, so.
Young, hungry, versus a millionaire. He's like fucking Bruce Wayne or something, trying to be Batman. And you know.
He's already talking about a next fight, no matter what.
Good for him. So. Good for him. I mean, I enjoy watching the little documentary. I'm not going to lie. It's put together well. I think, didn't we know someone who was doing some of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
I don't know. We'll have to... I think it's a toss-up. And I feel like CM Punk's going to take it.
He could.
Yeah.
You can go with Punk.
I'm taking
Punk. That's the risk. There's so many risky fights on this. This like... Literally, these three fights could be a coin flipper. I mean, I gotta say, this fight is, if you want to say odds-wise, I go 90-10. Like, 90% Gall, 10% Punk. So you're saying there's a chance? There's a chance
there
with everybody.
A chance.
But, I mean, let's see how Gall handles the pressure, right?
Right.
And this is, I mean, he's fought on UFC cards before, but... No, now you're in the spotlight. This is the big one. Mm-hmm. You're expected to win. How do you handle that pressure? What if things aren't going well for you in there? Do you buckle or do you rise to the occasion? The same thing for CM Punk. Do you buckle or do you rise to the occasion? Too many wild cards. So I'm going to go with youth and experience because Gall has had at least, you know, three amateur fights plus two professional. I think they said he was a brown belt in jiu-jitsu also, so...
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Moving right along. Fabricio Werdum versus Travis Brown. I feel like we saw that fight, but apparently we're seeing it again, because... Was it Roy Nelson? Ooh. Or, no, Ben Rothwell, right? Was supposed to fight Fabricio. Rothwell gets injured. Travis Brown takes down short notice.
Mm-hmm.
We, like... What's going on here?
I like Werdum in this. I feel like before he runs into Stipe, which, of course, if you look back at that fight, you realize there's a magnitude of tactical errors in that fight.
Just running recklessly after
like,
him.
I don't know where the hell that came from. I think he just...
I think he was just Brazil, right?
He lost his mind. He just got all crazy. He's like, let's go. I'm going to kill you. Come here. And he just walked into some shit that he shouldn't have walked into.
Yeah.
Before that, he's on a 6-fight win streak. And, I mean, I know, should have been 7. I know he lost to Overeem, but that fight was really impressive from what I remember. The striking was actually on par and maybe better than Overeem's. I feel like Werdum's way too well-rounded. Way too well-rounded. While Travis Brown has gone 1-1, 1-1, 1-1, and very inconsistent, and he might be in the worst training camp in the history of the sport
or
ever.
The best.
Right. Maybe they're building a Picasso and it just takes, or what do you, like a, it's a symphony and it has to have many moving parts and pieces.
Right.
And right, you know, there's of course dirty parts and happy parts and whatever. Or.
Dirty parts.
Dirty parts. Hey. Dirty parts.
Dirty and happy. I like where you're going,
yes.
Mr. Weigold.
Yes. Hey. And I don't know, you know, who knows? Maybe he has a chance, but I feel like he's very, you know what he's going to bring. Werdum, very well-rounded. Ground game solid, good striking, got a decent chin, smart guy when he uses his intelligence. And I don't see him losing this. I feel like Werdum via submission. I'm talking second round early. That's what I'm picking. First round will be a barn burner, probably because they're both crazy. Mm. So, and the heavyweights seem like that's what they like to do all of a sudden.
It's like, just fucking bite down our mouthpieces and throw bombs at each other. See what happens. Last man standing wins.
Hey. It's entertaining.
Well, I'm taking Travis Brown. There's no qualms about it.
Okay.
Short notice, dangerous fighter, nothing to lose. He doesn't want to be known as Ronda Rousey's bitch. Needs to make a point. This is a statement fight. He's taking on short notice. Dangerous fighters, right? Michael Bisping, takes the fight on short notice against Luke Rockhold. Rockhold's like, fuck, I'll whoop this bitch. No big deal. Goes out there and gets fucking knocked out.
Okay.
I feel like Verdum may have a little bit of that cockiness coming into this fight because he did beat Brown in the past.
He did.
He's taking out short notice. Probably feels like, I know what this guy's got to offer. And may take mm-hmm. him lightly here. So I'm going with the younger, hungrier. I think that's my theme.
Do you like the young and hungry?
Well, except for the main event.
What about young and starving? Are you?
I like starving.
Yeah.
I feel like he's hungry.
How about young and well-fed?
I like well-fed.
Okay.
I like well-fed lady.
Oh, there you go. Mm.
Cyborg.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's not well-fed.
What is she then?
Needs to eat more.
You're damn right. She needs to be 185 and go.
Start feeding her fucking sausages.
Ooh, I could feed her some sausage and go. It's not what I'm thinking.
Eat some of this sausage.
Yeah, damn right. It's right here. I'm taking Brown.
Hey, all right.
Heavyweights will be heavyweights. Main event. Stipe Miocic, Alistair Overeem. Stipe fighting in his hometown. A little worried about the pressure of your hometown. I think he's mentally tough, though, right? Isn't he a firefighter?
Firefighter. Yeah, he's like a Chris Lytle style, you know?
Yeah, just, I love that style.
Just a fucking all-around cool dude. He has been doing a little bit of that circuit. I think he's the Cleveland Browns. He's like all over town doing his thing.
Yeah, it was nice when we talked about when he won the title and the fucking basketball team wins and Cavaliers, and then they bring him into the ceremony like mm-hmm. we were talking about. Like, who's this fucking white guy that they just got that championship belt. Yeah. I didn't know the NBA had that, but
yeah. Now I think he talked to them too at some point during the whole thing, and did give him a little speech. And yeah, I mean, you know, all around good guy, solid fighter. Of course, he's part of the Comprito lineage type thing, you know.
So you're biased in your opinion.
Of course, everything I say is biased, Matt. They already know this.
I know.
So it's not.
It all works out.
It's not a secret, but I will say that I'm always concerned about the heavyweight curse, but I think in this case, although
he's okay because he just won the belt, so this will be his first defense. Right. The next fight is the
trouble.
He's probably gonna lose if he doesn't lose this one.
Yeah, I think his striking is solid. I think that he's extremely tough. He hits hard. Overeem has somehow changed. I feel like he's not dangerous like he used to be.
He's just crafty, though.
Yes.
And that's the thing that scares me. Like, if I was to fight him, I don't know what I'm going to see, right? Because he keeps changing. Like, sometimes he wants to be the wrestler mm-hmm. and wrestle fuck you. Sometimes he wants to be the counter-striker and just wait.
Yep.
And sometimes he wants to be the aggressor. So you never know what you're getting.
Right.
You know?
But he is getting smaller.
Of course. But it seems to be working for him because now he's using his noodle more.
Uh-huh. Maybe his noodle's getting bigger and his body's getting shrinking.
He's doing the Wim Hof, right?
Is he doing breathing. That?
He
is
was, oh, yeah. Really? He was okay. working with Wim.
Interesting. I just like Stipe. I mean, dude, 11 knockout. I'm looking at his hit record. He's only lost twice, once by KO, once by decision. And surprisingly enough, I forgot about this, but Struve is the one who KO'd him. 11 knockouts, dude. That's crazy. That's a lot of knockouts.
Overeem's been prone to get knocked out. But
yes. That's what I'm saying.
He's got to get through his defenses and
let me see.
Trying to think. If I'm Overeem, how do I want to approach this? I probably want to clinch up.
It would make the most sense.
I probably want to throw knees in the clinch.
The clinch. Maybe get a chance for a guillotine.
So it's like you're either going to kickbox, so it's you're all the way in or all the way out with, I think, Stipe.
Not in boxing range.
Right.
Bad move.
Yeah.
Bad idea. Because Stipe hits hard. He hits, and he's very accurate with his punches.
Like a liver kick, maybe.
You like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Or a knee to the liver kind of thing? Like a high plum kind of. Yeah, Overeem's tough. He's like an Anderson.
Or what if he decides to wrestle?
Overeem?
No. Yeah. Because, you know, he's got great
submissions. Doesn't Stipe have, like, a wrestling pedigree? I forgot. No. Anyways. We don't know shit.
I'm going to say he's got wrestling.
He's got wrestling. And he's got jiu-jitsu. And he's got the hometown crowd. I'm taking Stipe via knockout. First round. Minute and a half is what I'm guessing. It's going to be a barn burner of, like, a crazy knockout. Reem's going to be, like, Bigfoot style. Like,
it's gonna be one of those crazy ones. I feel like he's gonna go crazy, and then the cage will fall, and they'll burn
chaos
the place down.
Will arrive. Yes, let's burn this fucker to the ground.
Yes, I'm taking CB all day.
I'll take over him. Second round, KO. I think he's gonna be. I think he might be cautious the first round and try to. I feel like he's too cautious at times, but I feel like he's gonna be cautious, and then by the second round he'll get the KO.
Yes, sir.
What do you? Here's a question. What do you think the pay-per-view buy rate will be for UFC 203?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It's weird.
I thought about this too because we have no idea what factor CM Punk is going to play. Is he a Brock Lesnar? Is he bigger than Brock Lesnar? Is he smaller? I'm going to go ahead and say 700,000.
Wow. Okay.
That's my guess.
Because I don't see a lot of promotion for this fight. No. And even, you know, on the octagon of, like, the last couple UFCs, you had the heavyweight. You had the Miocic over him. But then you had CM Punk and Mickey Gall on. And you're trying to promote that fight as the big thing. And I don't know how many fake wrestling fans you bring in with that.
It's a heavyweight main and co. That's the thing.
Yeah, I just don't feel. And it's these three fights, and I know there's two other fights in the card. I don't even know what the fuck they are, but didn't even register. Okay. So, I'm gonna say 400,000. 400,000.
Ouch.
I usually have a good feel for, you know, what the numbers are. I just don't feel the.
It's really low.
I don't feel it.
That would be a shocking for heavyweight fights.
Well, the wild card is the CM Punk factor. I have no idea. Yeah. Well, the interesting thing will be, how much is he getting paid? Hopefully this isn't a state that they disclose the pay. I don't know that, but we'll probably find out. And then does that translate into pay-per-view buys? Because I don't think Miocic is selling tickets. Overeem's going to sell some. Verdum and Brown, eh. I don't think either of them are like, oh my God, I got to see these guys fight, kind of, for the general public.
Yeah.
And the CM Punk is maybe he's adding. I don't know. But gut says 400. I could be wrong, but
okay.
Let's see. Moving on along. Got news. Some news. Your favorite fighter, John Jones, is getting sued for negligence.
Shocking.
So I guess a fan that was going to UFC 200 bought tickets. He wanted to see John Jones so bad, got upset, personally suing him. Do you think there's any chance that fan even remotely wins a case, seeing how tickets are refundable?
Dude, you're an asshole. Whoever you are, Jesus Christ, man.
Who, John Jones? Now you're fucking calling John Jones?
No, the fan. This is the one time I will defend him.
Oh, okay.
Literally. Grow up, you know? You can get a refund. If you can't get a refund...
But what about if you've bought flights? Like, say you're coming from Ireland, and you're a big John Jones fan, and you had a big flight, hotel, all that shit.
You're still going to Vegas. Go have fun. Shut up. Have a good time. The event still happened. It was still awesome. Sort of.
No. It was shit. Well, I wonder if that was the case. Like, is it buyer's remorse? Because you go to it and it's such a shitty event and you're like, ah, fuck, I just wasted whatever amount of dollars. I don't know.
No, you opened a can of worms though, man.
Because
now, what if Jones makes the fight and the event was shit? Now people can just sue the fighters. I wasn't entertained. Suing your ass. I mean, that's crazy.
Well, everyone's suing everybody, right?
Well, yeah, true. But I just don't think. I think he doesn't see a penny. I don't think this gets any legs, and he just seriously get over it, man. It's
frivolous lawsuit.
I agree. Are you agreeing?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Next one. So Joe Silva.
Yes, thank you.
Decides he's going to retire at the end of the year, and this was, you know, I guess apparently he's been with Zuffa or not Zuffa, but the UFC. Like, he's one of the most tenured employees ever. Because he's pre-Zuffa.
Like 18 years or something, right?
So he got a big seven-figure payout when the UFC was sold to this new group and decides, you know what? I want to spend time with my family. I don't need this shit anymore.
Yeah.
So this was always the thought. There's a couple questions in here because I had asked before, like Dana White, okay, he just gets $360 million. How much longer is he going to do it? Joe just tapped out. He's like, fuck this. I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question is, how much is this going to affect the UFC? Because it seemed like this guy was, like, new as shit, made all the matches, did all the work, mm-hmm. was the guy who's always in there getting the hugs or trying not to get hugged by the fighters afterwards. Like, don't fucking hug me with your bloody shit on my expensive suit.
Hello.
You know, my 4'2" stature.
Yes. He doesn't look that old. It's weird that he's been there that long.
Yeah.
But they have Sean Shelby, right?
Right.
So I think that will be a good replacement, and I'm sure there'll be understudy for him.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to need to hire, like, 3 guys probably to do what one guy was doing. Cause
perhaps.
Probably consumed. I mean, if he is just that burnt out, like, you should love what you're doing or just...
I guess,
you know?
I don't get, why does he have to travel with the show? I don't understand.
He doesn't.
Why does he, though? He's at every event.
I don't think any, well, I mean, obviously some of the guys need to, but him, if you're the matchmaker, why are you traveling?
I don't know. It's an excuse to get away from
Sean
the wife.
Sean Shelby, yeah. Why are you traveling?
Exactly. He likes the boost buffer hookers and blow ads.
Probably.
He's like, I'm rich. I don't need to travel for hookers and blow. I can get it right here. I don't know. It's interesting because you probably will start to see Joe Rogan. You know, there's a lot of things that...
It's a trickle
down.
Did
Joe
effect.
Get a payout, by the way?
I don't think he had ownership.
Oh, okay. Not even a little piece? Small
piece. Maybe a 1%.
That's enough. That's enough for that kind of a deal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they'll be fine. Of course, it'll be... Oh, adjustment period, but... I think Sean Shelby will do fine, and I just I'm still not clear why he has to travel that much. There must be some reason. So I don't know.
I don't know.
You could just be sitting here.
You could just do less, like Rogan, right?
Sure.
You know, he said he's only going to do the numbered cards, and he's not leaving the U.S. anymore.
Oh, he said that? He's only going to leave the U.S.
That's okay. The deal for the next year.
There okay. Yeah.
Why can't you do that?
Good. Yeah. Yeah, I'm in the middle of the podcast with him and Cerrone, apparently. They seem like they're getting drunk.
It goes off the rails.
Okay.
A little too much alcohol-induced.
Like in a bad way?
It's okay, but it's, you know, the drunker they get, the less, like, they start talking about bullshit. I want to hear you guys talking about MMA, not fucking planets and shit you don't know about, you know?
Yeah. They were philosophizing about things.
And then I'm like, you know, let's get to some coherency here.
Let's just get high as fuck and talk about nothing.
Yes. So there's some rumors about some new fights coming on.
Okay.
I think Ariel Helwani had said that the UFC is considering, and he just threw it out. He said there's a UFC 205 possibly, Weidman, Jacare, Rockhold, Romero, and I'm assuming you're looking at Weidman versus Jacare. And Rockhold versus Romero.
Uh-huh.
Do you like those matchups? Weidman, Jacare, Rockhold, Romero.
I like that. I think the Rockhold Romero will be more exciting. The Weidman Jacare, though.
Those are tough fights either way.
Yeah, dude, that's going to be real tough. Because Weidman, God, man, Jacare's dangerous on the ground. Weidman's got pretty good, powerful stance. I don't know. I think those are all both pick'ems.
Exactly.
Just flip a coin.
Yeah.
I don't know. That doesn't sound like does not sound like there will be very far odds here. So it'll be very close.
We are in support. We agree.
I like
and
it.
And then if one guy gets injured or whatever, you mix also have the matchup. Like you can pull someone if you need to. So I like the having top level guys in the same weight classes on the same cards.
Yes.
Because then also too. With whoever wins, like if you need to do a matchup after that, you get a matchup.
You can just do it, yeah. They're all on the same schedule.
And I forgot my wireless. We're recording on a different night, so the wireless just shut off.
It's all good. Don't need it.
I have video, but I might need to get up and or not.
Getting up?
At some point.
Come on, get jiggy with it.
Let's talk. The other thing we wanted to mention, and, you know, you had sent me the video of Ariel Helwani is doing some really good work here late with the Frankie Edgar.
Loved it. Yes. If we should put this on our Facebook, but yeah, MMA fighting. He went to the pizzeria where his striking coach
Mark Henry.
Yes, he actually owns a pizzeria and apparently works there. And you know they did this whole thing like competition between him and Frankie. You know, throwing pizzas, making calzones, flipping boxes, whatever. And he gets in Frankie's face a couple times, which I found hilarious.
because Frankie,
yeah, he's like, let's face off. He's fucking all about it.
Yeah, it was great. I like to see the personality of Ariel because he always seems so buttoned up and put together in his interviews for me. And it's nice to see the looser side of him. And I feel like the content in general is way better than anything on television right now. And I mean, it's striking to me how good the internet entertainment is now versus what the fuck you see on ESPN or all these stupid ass.
ESPN's like turning into fucking TMZ.
Oh, it's horrible.
And then they wonder why the numbers keep going down. Yep. It's because you're putting garbage out.
It's horrible. Right? It's horrible. Horrible. And I wish that more of this kind of content would come out because I think it's really good. I didn't see the Eddie Alvarez one. Did you?
And what I want to just say about the Frankie Edgar one too is that, you know, I hate that fucking guy. And now, like, seeing that interview, I was like, oh, it's kind of warm. Like, I'm warming up a little bit. My black coal heart just grew aside.
Melted your heart
a little bit.
Wow.
So
he's a little man too.
I know.
He's a tiny little guy.
But I think we need to have more of these because you actually get to. It's almost like getting a guest on the Joe Rogan podcast where you get them to talk for 3 hours or like with the Ariel. It's an hour conversation and it's so casual that the fighter really gets to be himself and you don't have a fucking manager like, oh, don't answer this, don't answer that. And then Eddie Alvarez, he went back to his hometown in Philadelphia and the neighborhood that he grew up in is so sketchy that they had two police officers walking behind them the whole time.
Awesome.
They're walking through and they're like, oh, is that a syringe on the street? Yep, there's a syringe. Got a big heroin problem here in Philadelphia.
Wow.
And, you know, they went back through like his old boxing gym and he said that he used to train there when he was anywhere from 8 to 10 years old is when he first started to train boxing. And the guy that worked at the place and owned it is still there from when he was 8 or 10 till when he showed up unannounced right now. Still there. Same guy.
Crazy.
But the interesting thing was Alvarez was talking about his fight with Pettis and he said, you know, he got the win, but he was conflicted because he employed the correct game plan, but the fans weren't appreciative of that. So he's like, man. And so you kind of realize, like, I have to respect what the fans want, and I have to employ the game plan. So I have to find the balance between both, because if I don't respect what the fans want, I'm not going to have any fans, and nobody's going to want to watch me fight. Mm-hmm. Like, I like this guy. He's a smart. He's a thinking man. Like, you know, a lot of guys won't do that. A lot of guys will just be like, who is it? John Fitch. Like, fuck you. This is my style. I'm going to take you down and just lay on you. Right?
Ben Askren.
Right? Hence why he's not in the UFC. But if you want to have exciting fights, you gotta do it.
You got to finish fights, Matt.
That's right. Kenny Florian.
I finish fights at 155 or whatever he said. Yeah. I forgot which weight class.
BattleBots!
That's a good show. I watched that.
Is it in second... Or what season are we in?
Third, I think.
Still going strong.
Huh? I love it, yeah. It's fun stuff.
Here we go.
Yep.
And Alvarez also said, if he gets that fight against McGregor, he said, I'm out to tell the whole world there is no Santa Claus. Basically, magic is not real.
Maybe not.
No. I mean, Conor's kind of picked and choose his opponents, right?
Well, yeah. You can dictate things when you're at the top.
Well...
and choose.
He's not the best fighter. He's just the best shit talker. Mm-hmm. And he's had very favorable matchups.
I agree.
So, I mean, that kind of begs the question of what's next for Conor, right? Eddie is open to that fight. If I'm Conor, I don't even know. What do you think's next for Conor?
Well, Dana said he wasn't going to do the Diaz thing. It's not the right time. Alvarez seems to make the most sense to me. I don't see him going to 45. I think he vacates that belt. I think that cut is too vicious at this point, especially. I like the 55 weight class for him, and I think Alvarez makes a lot of sense. Let him try to go get a belt there at 55.
Yeah.
See what's going on. And if he can or can't, then the Diaz fight makes sense after that. But
what if he loses to Alvarez?
Is that... Well, That is a problem.
Does he need to get a win before he goes back to fighting Diaz, or?
Maybe. I don't know, dude.
That's going to be an immediate rematch. What the fuck? You know, if he loses, I didn't train right. I spent $500,000. I should have spent $1 million on my training camp. You know, all this bullshit. Should have doubled up the touch butt in the park.
The touch butt in the park.
Worst Irish accent, and I'm fucking...
I'm with you, man. I know what you're trying to sell. I'm right. Buying. It's all good.
All right.
Can I tell you about something?
Yes, please.
It's kind of... Go. We were talking about Diaz just now.
Yes.
And there is a story going around that CM Punk has been sharing that actually Nate Diaz came up and apologized to him for talking shit about him randomly, and he was kind of surprised. He's looking around for cameras going, is this a fucking joke? What's going on? No, but literally the guy was like, hey, man, sorry, man. I don't know who the hell you are. I'm talking shit about you, so respect. And that begs the question of... This is why the Nate Diaz and Nick Diaz are so great. And yes, I said, I talk about them as if they were things, because you don't know who the real person is. Is it the guy you see on TV who's all crazy and throwing bottles at people and just acting all gangster? Or are they super nice guys who teach jujitsu to kids and are respectful and all this stuff? Who are the real Diaz brothers? That's my question.
And we need to go to Stockton. I think we need to find this out.
Should we go?
I'm sure that'll work out well for us.
Will that show up?
Sure. Well, I think there's a public image, and then there's the real image, right? So, yeah. And then there's also, if you're in their, what is it, like the circle of trust?
Yes, thank you. What
was that, is that from?
The one, Barbara Streisand's in that fucking thing. The Meet
Ben
the Fockers?
Yes. Fockers. Yes. So I feel like if you're in the circle of trust, they let you in. Right? And then you see who the real person is, right?
Yes.
But a lot of time it's like they're dealing with bullshit. They don't like to do this media circus or deal with all this people. Mm-hmm. And I think with the Diaz or Nate in this case, I think Ronda Rousey said to CM Punk, he's all right. Because she plays in that WWE world, right?
Yeah. You know?
So yeah, I just feel like there's the two sides, and they're not always going to want to show the soft side.
Well, no.
You know, you got to come off hard if that's your fucking
shtick.
That's
the image.
Right?
Yeah, that's the shtick.
I get it.
All right, cool. I think it's a cool story. Cool story, bro.
That's right. So I'm talking about this. Paul Felder started a GoFundMe.
Uh-huh.
Apparently he's fighting in Brazil, and UFC does not pay for all your cornermen you get.
Nope.
One cornerman, one flight, I think one hotel room extra.
Yes.
So if you have multiple cornermen, you got to fund the bill for everybody. And especially flying to Brazil is probably not cheap, getting a hotel. No. And even when you train at the hotel, I think they only give you like one pass to the gym or one extra. Whatever it is, it feels like obviously the UFC isn't doing enough. But even... And it's weird because I looked at the page and the donations got shut down. So he got 2,900 out of the 7,500 he was looking for, but now he's not accepting anymore. So I don't know if the UFC told him, shut that shit down or what, but...
You're embarrassing us, man.
Yeah, I know. You're making us look bad. Joe Lozon came out and basically said that it was a cost... It almost, to me, interpreting it, was it's almost like a cost of doing business, like... Almost telling Paul to shut the fuck up and just pay the money. Like, how do you feel about this? Like, should the UFC be footing the bill for at least three?
Well,
I mean,
I don't know where you draw the line. I remember talking to, and I think you maybe refresh your memory, you know, Comprito, and when he was Russo, you know, that was a big thing. Like, they kept talking about, well, you know, plane tickets and all this shit, and really it's one guy and the fighter, and everything else is extra. And when you're making 10 grand, like all your profits go away or whatever. So you got to draw the line somewhere. I don't know if it's at one. One seems like a small number.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, what's required for a guy to go?
I think it's three, right?
Three, maybe two, at least two. Three could be a stretch. I don't know, you know, for the undercard.
Union pushes for three. You're only at one. We set in agree in the middle at two.
Two is fair. Two, at least two people. But one seems like not a lot. I don't know.
I mean, especially if you're flying overseas, you're like, Jesus. Yeah. I don't know what payment he's on. But, I mean, if you're on a 10 and 10, How does that make any financial sense to take a fight overseas? You know,
it does not.
The amount of the flight, like, you're going to end up upside down on that fight.
Uh-huh.
And God forbid you don't win the fight and don't get your win bonus.
Which is why I think you notice that a lot of the local cards have local fighters. I think that's one of the reasons, perhaps, is that they don't want to. And the UFC doesn't want to pay,
right?
And the guys
don't. And then you also have the local following, right? So it helps sell the tickets.
Yeah, it's both, yeah. So, I don't know. I'm fine with it. They draw the line at one. One it is. Two would be better.
I think it's blasphemy.
Two would be better. But at the same time, we're on the outside looking in saying, well, how come they're making a $4 billion deal? They can't pay for the shit. We don't know what.
Or just pay the fighter more then. And it's one, but the minimum is whatever.
Yeah. 20,000 instead of five or whatever.
I feel like the UFC should be covering. I'll go up to three. I'm going to say three. I'm with you, fighters.
Okay.
Let's move along. Damian Maia wants a title shot over a fight with GSP. Are you surprised?
I'm not surprised. I respect the decision. I obviously, we've talked about, I think it was last show or the one before, but I think we realize he doesn't care about the money. He wants the belt because it's what he's been after forever. I respect that. At the same time, I think the fight with GSP, if done correctly, can make you enough money to, like, sail off into the sunset.
And did you hear that GSP threw out Damian Maia as a potential fight that he would like?
Shocking. I wonder why.
Well, it's like one of the best, right? If you're looking at a dangerous fight and you're talking about a true martial artist versus a true martial artist, two of the most humble guys in the sport, jeez, please make that fight.
I'd say the risk of injury for either guy is extremely low.
Right.
Too.
I mean, it's when we talked about Maia, we didn't mention this. His last four fights, I think they said he absorbed 13 significant strikes.
You nailed it. Yep.
You fucking kidding me?
That's crazy.
It's unheard of.
Yeah, no, yeah, it is. And GSP, of course, is known for his jabbing and whatever and wrestling. So I think this plays out nicely for both guys. Oh, Mike issue.
Yes, sir.
So one guy's a strong wrestler with decent boxing. Another guy is a pretty good jiu-jitsu guy with some boxing. I think this plays out on the ground. It would be a good fight overall. The guys will walk away unscathed, most likely. And you could do the Brazil versus Canada thing.
Yes.
Damien, I think you got to think very hard about this because GSP still at the time, I think even now, if done in Canada, I think you're talking about like a $3, $4 million payday, if not more.
Yeah.
So,
and especially like if he doesn't get the title shot next, if you're just sitting around waiting, why not take the GSP fight? It doesn't, even if you lose, that does not hurt your status in the rankings. It's fucking GSP.
Right.
And if you ever want the best chance of a time to beat a guy who's been out of the sport for 3 years, you want him on that first fight back. And speaking of which, he looks so skinny.
Does he?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen pictures.
I'm just saying.
Hmm. Well, there is that rumor going around that he was the original PED guy, right? But he got out in time and got away in time.
Yeah.
And some circles have said it's because he is so goddamn, like, obsessive that he's like, I'm not going to get caught. I need to get the hell out of here. Like, I don't want to be part of this anymore.
Right. Maybe that last fight he stopped doing stuff.
Could be.
Right? Yeah. Remember he was pushing so hard to get WADA testing and Hendricks was like, oh, WADA or nothing. And, you know, look what happened. Not the best performance. Took a lot of strikes and arguably lost that fight. I think he lost it in my book.
He might have stopped a fight or two before that, too.
Because
wasn't it the last three fights, he absorbed more punishment combined than his entire career.
Right.
So it's interesting. I know he got older, but I like Damian and GSP to fight, and I think it makes financial sense, obviously, for Damian.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I respect that he wants the belt. But, I mean, if you get a manager, I know you have one, to structure this deal properly, dude, you could be set up for, like,
You're talking
Nate Diaz money.
Yeah, a million easy. Plus, whatever the pay-per-view is gonna do over $1 million.
Oh, easy. You can make $4 million, $5 million. GSP makes 10.
Right.
Everybody's happy. You throw another big fight on the card. Boom. Now you got a $1.4 million pay-per-view. Shit, you throw Conor McGregor on there.
Uh-huh.
It's the biggest pay-per-view ever.
And what if Maia wins?
they still won't give him a title shot.
No title shot for you. Go fuck yourself.
No, I believe he's cursed. I hate to say this. They're not going to give him a title shot. They will do anything other than that.
Well, that's the weird thing. It was because I was reading a lot of the comments about Maya, and it's really unfortunate. It's a mixed bag with him right now. A lot of guys don't respect what he's doing on the ground.
No.
Like everyone just stand and bang. Like, I get that standpoint. I get it. I
Throw
love
down.
That. But yes. Why can't you have a guy that's fucking taking people down, absorbing the least amount of strikes possible, submitting people again, showing what jiu-jitsu is, being humble, being a true martial artist, would be a great champion, a great role model.
Very
I don't have an issue, right?
People, listen, because it isn't dramatic, you don't understand. Go and try to do something to another man who doesn't want you to and see if you can do that.
Right. And a Maya, black belt making him look like a white belt.
Exactly. Maya makes it look like a man versus a child. Like, you literally can't stop him.
Right.
And these people that he goes against are not amateurs.
I feel like we need to grapple him when he comes back to town.
No. I don't want any part of that. No. Are you crazy?
I'm just joking.
No.
I don't want
he
a staff infection.
And it'll be like, okay, how many times can I submit you in 35 seconds?
I'm going to play turtle guard.
About 22?
Play a turtle guard.
Every 4 seconds? Tap,
I'm going to triple up my TRT. Maybe it's a turtle and fucking juice into the test.
That would be something. So, no, he's the real deal. And, you know, I'm glad he went back. But he's not getting a title shot. I don't. Just take the money, dude. Seriously, this is my opinion. Take the money, right off into the sunset. You ain't getting that title shot unless something crazy happens. It's not gonna happen.
Well, maybe there's an injury. We'll see what happens. Because they still haven't made that Woodley Thompson fight official,
which is interesting.
And we still have GSP. And I want to talk about GSP a little bit because there's been all this like shit going on. So okay. Let's start with GSP has thrown himself back into USADA drug testing, I think, at the beginning of August. He is yet to be drug tested by USADA.
Shocking.
It was weird, right?
Excuse
he said there's a lot of issues with getting the contract signed because he has that previous contract where you could have all your sponsors, and he's saying, well, listen, I can't have my sponsors now, so you're going to have to make up what I'm gonna lose, so I need to. He's probably got. I gotta be up here, and maybe can I not wear Reebok? Cause he is. I don't know if he's Under Armour or who's his big sponsor.
Yeah, that's his big one.
There's challenges, and then you have Dana White pushing back. Oh, I don't fucking George. He doesn't really want to fight, and GSP is going. You know what? I know what Dana's doing. I'm not falling for his tricks. You know,
what is he, Mexican?
Yeah, he's whatever.
Hey, I think you should do this. When you want to do one accent, just think of the polar opposite and try to do that one, and then it would be the right accent.
There
we go. Okay, does that work?
I see Dana White. I'm not falling for his streaks.
I love it. That's awesome.
I'm smarter than this. I'm a true fighter, martial artist.
Yes.
I kick his ass.
The aliens.
So, here's where I'm trying to get to with all this, is that, you know, they're having this impasse. I think there's also another issue with his management company as a direct competitor.
Yes.
With the current owners of UFC.
Yep.
So, GSP basically said if they can't get the deal done, he's willing to walk away. So, do you think we see him in the UFC?
We do. I think he fights before the end of the year. I say we see him in December, and shit's going to happen. I feel like there's been a lot of news articles about this whole thing, and there's a lot of back and forth in the media, so I feel like they're close. They're gonna make something happen. And I think George wants to come back, and he wants to fight.
He does.
I think Dana wants him to come back, and he wants to fight. I just think they haven't financially agreed on the terms of that situation, but I feel like they're very close. So... they're all going to make shit tons of money.
They are.
So
and
just get it done.
Do you jeopardize him going to Bellator by fucking around so much? Because, you know, Rory... The thing is, Rory just went over there. So I don't know if GSP is going to go over there. Because then they're going to push for a GSP versus Rory problem again. And, I mean, fuck. How devastating would that be for UFC, though, if you had GSP
It would be crazy. I mean,
that would be huge if they could
sign him. I don't, you know, fighting wise, I don't know if he could fight, but Jesus Christ, GSP and Bellator.
Yeah,
I mean, they. I think
isn't Paul Daly over there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think the UFC just needs to be careful with how they're treating him. It just seems like there's a level of disrespect, you know.
Yeah, well, that's just a general affect of how they treat all their people, right?
Right. Or GSP just starts the union, right?
Good.
Keep pushing.
The Canadian Union. Maple syrup, beer, and poutine. Everybody, no more weight cutting. You eat all this shit.
All works out. Yeah. You got any other news?
I have nothing.
I have one last thing. So, Please. Sorry, we have the longest show ever. Matt Hughes just went full retard on Twitter. About Shocking. Unions.
Okay.
I guess he was at a question and answer session for UFC 203.
It's like a rodeo or something?
Yeah.
Yeah! Is he riding a bull?
Back mountain.
Like an anal, with like an anal probe?
Sure.
Up the bull's ass. It's fucking going crazy.
Well, that's what they do. They tighten their fucking testicles up and I think they stab them with a hot poker.
I didn't know that.
That's ridiculous. I don't know about the hot poker, but they definitely rope their balls.
That's crazy.
Squeeze
that's
them horrible. Real tight.
I'm never watching very, bull very angry. Again.
It's not a good thing. So
piss me off.
Oh, are you kidding me? Don't touch my balls, yeah. Okay?
You crazy?
So at this question and answer session, he said, when I started out, it wasn't for the money. I fought to compete, so I just don't see the need for a union. So then he decided to follow it up on Twitter and wax poetic. He said, true athletes get into the sport because they love it, not for the big money down the road. Sorry. And then there was basically just a shitstorm going back and forth with all the fighters and him trying to respond to them. And, like, this is a little weird, no, because isn't this guy the head of fighter relations and, you know, he's the company man, former fighter.
Yep.
Should be looking out for the fighter, but just fuck unions, basically, in my mind. So what do you think of this? Is he just toting the company line about the union kind of deal, or should he be looking out for the fighter since he's fighter relations, or what?
Well, Matt has always been one to beat to his own drum, right?
And like, do I have a Bible that I can hand out to all the people on my
He's very
tough
righteous
team?
In his old age. I think you have to keep in mind nowadays that the fighters are a lot wiser in what they're risking by stepping into the cage. And I can't fault anybody for wanting to get paid for literally putting their life on the line and their future health on the line.
Yeah.
They should be getting what they're worth. And it's fine for Matt to say X, Y, Z, but you know what? You made your money, man. And you just need to shut the fuck up about this. If you don't agree, then just let them do what they're going to do, because it's not any... I don't think it's any of his business. Why does he have to be all righteous about it? I mean... They're putting their lives in jeopardy. And just because a farm boy from Illinois made a lot of money and didn't know better in the beginning, because look at how those guys were training in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous. Nobody would train like this now because people realize, wait a second, it's not good for your health.
He might have brain damage. He
may have very well.
He's probably sparring with Tim Sylvia.
Yeah, well, and he's amazingly talented, decorated fighter. I respect his martial arts ability and all that, but dude, these guys need to get paid, because literally some of these people are not going to be okay later. They're not, and they realize that, and they should get their money. So, dude, it's gonna happen. 10, 15 years from now, some of these dudes are gonna be fucked up.
Yeah.
And they didn't get paid enough to do that. No. Same reason why football players are starting to take shorter careers, and guys are retiring in their prime because they're like, listen, dude, I'm done. I made enough money. I'm out of here. See you later before I literally can't, you know, enjoy it. I don't agree. I think the whole thing is just douchey. And especially if he's going to represent the fighters.
Right. And he's a fighter. You're a fucking fighter at heart. So you need to look out for what's best for the fighter. Yeah. Fuck. I understand you're a company man, but fighter first. You have no loyalty to where you came from. Get the fuck out. Go retire from UFC then, and go milk your cows or whatever you do out there. Fuck your goats. I don't care. Goats. I judge no one.
That's right. Goat fucker.
Suck off a goat.
You goat fucker, you.
Matt Hughes, goatfucker.
Yeah. I want to add goatfucker extraordinaire.
Yeah.
I like that.
Should put a meme
it's got a good
it.
Ring to
see
it.
If that, see if that works for
Matt
us.
Matt Hughes, goatfucker
we're so getting sued. Or he's going to drive up here and kill us.
Whatever. I'm ready.
He's small, though.
I'm ready 24/7.
He's a little guy.
That's right.
Yeah.
I got a dog. She'll bite your balls off.
Yes.
If she had balls. If she had balls, I'd ring him up like a bull. Squeeze him. Just make her a little angrier than she already is. All right. Ask the nuts. Let's move right along.
Please.
I'm going at breakneck speeds.
2-hour show.
Seriously, Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
It's all good. I'm sure we'll have perfect audio, so don't worry. Matthew Whitehurst asks, if you had to watch one of the following fights, which would it be? Nate Diaz versus Nick Diaz or GSP versus Rory McDonald?
Some number two. I don't want to see
that. No, brothers should never fight brothers.
I don't want to see that.
That's never a good thing.
I don't even know how they sell that. That's I don't want to see it.
Ryan Mew asks, I would love to see Max Holloway versus Jose Aldo. I believe it would be an epic fight. How amped would you be to see that? And more importantly, how do you think that fight would go?
I guess. I don't know. It's hard for me to... You know what? I think I'm...
Are you done with the featherweight division?
It's hard for... It's not moving the needle for me. I'm not feeling a tingle in my pantalones about this one. Yeah.
My pantalones azules.
No. Yeah. What does azules mean?
Blue.
Okay, thank you.
Blue jeans. Blue pants.
I guess. I mean, they're both prolific, dynamic strikers, so it could be interesting to see the crazy chaos that happens, but I'm kind of just,
Jose Aldo via leg kick.
Maybe.
Ryan Mew, follow-up question. Which matchup would you set up first if you were Joe Silva's replacement?
Which matchup would I set up first?
Yeah. Damian Maia versus GSP.
Thank you. I was going to say that, yes. It's a good one.
That Tim Sylvia, Andre Arlovsky.
Four.
Five.
Now's a good time.
So. Seriously. Perfect. Get Sylvia back in there. Yes. He could. Well, the heavyweight division is really thin right now. We could bring him back in. I'm just saying. What else would I like? Dream matchup.
John Jones versus John Jones.
Done.
Fighting himself.
That's right.
That way, if he doesn't show up, only he will be.
Christopher Flynn asks, which weight class does Pettis belong at? You guys think the weight cut was too much for him given his performance?
Well, it's funny you asked that question because I was debating with someone prior to this last fight about how Pettis sucks and he's fucking lost his all shit and he's terrible and I can't stand him anymore. And then he goes out and wins and I'm going...
And that was, in our opinion, fight of the night, right? Him
yes.
and Oliveira.
Yes. And I go, that's interesting because that looks like the Pettis I remember before he turned into the Pettis I forgot. So maybe this is the right weight class for him. I don't know, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think he said he felt weak, but
he did.
Maybe he's got to be better in the weight cutting.
Well,
you know,
he's
it's his first
skinny.
Time yeah. going all the way down, so he probably, you know, first cut, it's always weird. I mean, yeah. I hate guys going down, but he needed to do something different. 155 was not working out for him.
Yeah.
You can't lose three in a row. I mean, you lose four, and it's bye-bye. Here's your Wheaties box. Have a good day.
Yeah. What a miserable existence, though. The guy, I bet, has to really watch what he eats, like, all the time.
I know. And just think about, he's king of the world, right? Champ, Wheaties box, and then just goes on this fucking downward spiral.
Happens
and now
fast.
He's going back up.
Yeah, he's got a victory. We'll see.
Yep. Brandon Mason asks, would you rather see Rumble versus Jones or DC versus Rumble 2?
Oh, Rumble versus Jones, I think.
Yeah. I like to see fights we haven't seen.
Yep.
Dale Good asks, how's it hanging?
Low.
Low. Slow and low. That is the tempo. Mm-hmm. Great. Right along. Knowledge. I had an epic video, but
it's not working.
We've turned into pumpkins once again. We're on a Monday night, and I shut my Wi-Fi off at midnight. So let's see, what else could I talk about? Oh, I could talk about Battlefield 1.
Did you play?
The open beta, I think, is open for another week.
Oh, I haven't
been playing it. It's initially I had challenges with it. It was reminiscent of that fucking EA Star Wars. What was that? The Battlefront?
Yes.
I'm still having issues. Like, oh, there's a little rock in front of me. Can't get up it. Like, oh, Jesus Christ. And there's some issues with, like, there's like a bum rush or a charge. Yeah. So you hit the button, your guy goes, like, starts spazzing out and fucking, he's got a bayonet on the gun and he's just like running around. And if someone's in that spaz mode and I have a shotgun and I shoot him in the face,
yeah,
it doesn't work.
And
then I get stabby stabbed.
That's crazy.
I don't like to get stabby stabbed, but there's this conquest mode where it's 64 versus 64.
Yes.
And it's just fucking chaos. There's so much shit going on. There's tanks, there's airplanes.
Yes. That's the computer version.
And there's an anti-airplane gun, which is really effective, but when you use it, you're way out in the open, so if you don't have people on your team protecting you, mm-hmm. you're getting fucked up. Cautiously optimistic right now. I don't know if I'm going to buy it when it comes out, but the more I play it, the more I'm seeing it has the potential to be great, but there's a lot of fucking...
Yeah.
Issues. But again, it's EA.
It's a beta. Well, yeah.
And beta.
It's 2 months from now, right?
Something like I think this. End of October or November. Yeah. It seems like November is usually like the big release for everybody. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
I like to beta test all these things. I did the same thing with the Titanfall 2. That was kind of... Eh. Like, nothing is blowing me away in all these betas that I'm doing. Like, I think I'm just going to wait and see what the reviews are. Give it a good month to hash itself out. Like Battlefield 4, remember? We got that like the first week. It was fucking unplayable.
The servers couldn't even... Oh, no.
It's the worst.
Handle it. No, and that was a fun game, and I think it got better over the year.
Yeah.
And I never played it again because I was so turned off by it. But same with Destiny. The first, when it came out, I hated it. And then a year later, I got hooked on it for like a good 8 months. And that's getting a refresh now, too. So... I don't know. It's weird. I don't know if I'm getting older. I just haven't been gaming a lot. I've been choosing to read books or read comics or draw or do other things versus like doing the electronic thing. I don't know. I don't have that pull. It's not there. I'm waiting. I don't know if it'll happen when the weather kicks over.
Maybe.
I wonder if that's the...
Maybe that's why they decide to release it, because they know people aren't going to be outside. So we do the winter release for the top games because they know you're going to be inside.
Yeah. It's the middle of summer. What, are you going to sit indoors when it's 90 degrees out and sunny? No. I'll be out.
Me and my fucking air conditioner.
I'm a hermit over
here. I fucking hate the heat. I love the cold.
God, I love it outside.
I almost moved to Alaska looking for mosquitoes. Yes.
That's probably why I got the beard.
It's time to start growing it.
I love the heat, man. I'm going to miss it. I love being outside. It's the best.
70 degrees. That's where I like to be.
Yeah, that is
nice. What's your optimal temperature then?
I'd say 82. Yeah.
Balmy. 82 degrees.
I could do it with a little lower humidity, but 82 is about right. Like today was slightly humid for me, but it was
yeah,
also.
Yeah, I think we're in 88-ish.
Yeah, it's too hot, too humid. But yeah, 82 and like maybe 50-60% humidity instead
82,
of like
82, couple Mai Tais.
Yeah.
At the beach.
Oh yeah. No man, it's nice.
For a pina colada.
That's right, get the sun going.
And you brought me a Mai Tai. I'll burn this place to the ground.
Yeah, I know where you're going with that. That's good. But yeah, I like your knowledge. Good. Video games.
Yes. That's it. Should have done a 2.5-hour show. We go.
I'm so hungry.
So
that has been this week's edition of MMA Nuts.
12:42.
The question is, what will I eat? I'm not sure.
What will you eat? I'm going to get sausage.
Yeah, big one.
And
big
the only black way you sausage. Can take it.
Rectal.
Goddamn right.
I'm not going to eat it. I'm going to shove it up my ass.
Sweet. It'll get digested one way
exactly.
or another.
Exactly. Ingo Weigel.
Eric Griffith. Thanks for playing.